Good morning and welcome to Community Talk. My name is Phil Mahoney. In the studio this morning, we are pleased to have Sarah Fox, who is with the New Mexico Interstate Stream Commission. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming in to talk about water. Now, I'm going to start with a rather broad question. Water in New Mexico, what's the deal?
What's the deal? So we are one of the most arid states in the United States. So that means we have kind of the smallest amount of water available for use in the United States. But that sounds kind of grim, but it's not. We have enough water to live and have a very vibrant community.
Mm-hmm.
But with climate change, we're expecting for our water resources to be less available going forward.
Right.
So that's a pretty big problem. But as a state, we're taking proactive steps to make sure that we are planning for this more arid future.
Okay. And I was kind of half kidding with water. What's the deal? But it kind of does. We have to kind of start there, because unless you're a farmer or somehow your livelihood is based on water, you think, well, that doesn't really concern me, you know, but it really does concern everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah, so most people in the state get their water via a municipal system. So maybe the city of Albuquerque, city of Santa Fe. And so it just comes out the tap and it's there all the time.
Right.
And then there's a good majority of the state that are on their own domestic wells. So they have their own well and they just turn on the tap and it comes out. And so a lot of people don't think about it until it's maybe not there.
Right.
And that's where we're trying to plan for a future, and so we don't ever get to the point where, you know, taps just go dry, because that would be a really bad situation.
And that has happened in some communities, right?
It has happened in some communities, especially some areas of the state where we're mining a lot of our groundwater. There, it's not uncommon to have domestic wells go dry, and
mm-hmm.
people have to resort into hauling water from different sources, essentially, to provide their daily use of water, you know, for dishes and drinking and hand washing, etc.
Right, all of that. And with the Native American population and on the Pueblos, sometimes people have to haul water as a everyday part of life, right?
Yeah, and other parts of the state. So it's not just a problem for some of our tribal nation constituents, but also some places in the states, just that's the reality. We're
right.
hauling water.
Right. So what's the state of water in New Mexico right now? We may have issues moving forward with climate change and things like that. Where are we at now?
So at the moment, we are, you know, we're doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look forward about 50 years, we're expecting a 25% decrease in our water resources kind of over the next 50 years. And that's really driven by the increase in temperature. As temperature increases, everything gets thirstier, from you to me to, you know, the sky and the atmosphere and the
mm-hmm.
plants. So essentially, while we're expecting to have relatively the same variability in our precipitation, people know some years are really wet, some years are really dry. That variability will continue with kind of our rain.
Mm-hmm.
But we're expecting higher temperatures, so that water that we get won't go as far due to those higher temperatures.
And drought conditions, we've heard about them for years and years, and we're
mm-hmm.
still in a drought.
We are.
But you get a bunch of, you know, rain in the afternoon in the summer and everyone thinks, oh, well, good. We're all good. It's not true, right?
It's not necessarily true. Kind of as we think about a warming temperature, we have this process called aridification, which is kind of a really big word, which just means it's getting drier overall.
Okay.
So we're stepping into a more dry environment. And even within that kind of march towards a drier environment, we're going to have fluctuations where there will be wetter periods and drier periods. So we'll continue to see this kind of drought that we've been living in.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have like some years with really, really wet rain or really big flood events like we saw in Albuquerque end of June here with that really big rainstorm that came through.
Right, right. And in Rio Doso and areas where they have the wildfires and then they have flooding and horrible things going on post-fire with water. It's a slap in the face, isn't it, really? You have to go through one disaster and then just be met with another one.
Yeah, and so these types of disasters of, you know, fire and then flooding that occurs after fire are really, they're devastating for communities.
Yeah.
And they're really hard to, you know, make a plan to meet that, essentially that crisis right away. But what we're doing at the Interstate Stream Commission is trying to, you know, step back ahead of a crisis and think about what we should be planning for now
mm-hmm.
so that we can, you know, lessen the impacts of different crises going forward.
Now, when I cross the river, and sometimes there's a river and sometimes there's not really a river, is that an indicator in any way of the situation, or is that too a micro look at a macro issue?
It kind of depends. I think generally speaking, the Rio Grande is a desert river, and it's historically, if it was a wild river with no, big dams like Cochiti or Elephant Butte on it, parts of it would probably dry up every year.
Mm-hmm.
But now how the river is operated is really kind of an engineered system. And so when the rivers like dry, through Albuquerque, that's more of a function of how we're releasing water based off of, endangered species or water rights holders and how they're moving water.
Okay. Now, what is Mainstream New Mexico?
Mainstream New Mexico is a campaign of the Interstate Stream Commission. It is our kind of new campaign to both be a trusted source for information about water in New Mexico and this new outreach that we're doing around regional water planning and kind of revamping and reimagining that for the state of New Mexico to increase New Mexicans' water security across the state.
And you want input?
We want input. So yeah, we're in the middle of a large input opportunity. We've been on a roadshow around the state, so we've now been to 13 of 16 of our water planning regions, getting information from people about who their neighbors are, what do they value about water, who should be empowered to make these decisions about water, and a variety of other things as part of that input process. And we have three more in-person meetings that are coming up the first week of August, August 5th, 6th, and 7th.
So this week, or this upcoming?
Like 2 weeks.
Yeah, from now. Right.
So, yeah, so not next week.
Yeah, I got you.
But yeah, a little bit in the future. So we've been going around the state, and then we've also opened these same input opportunities online at mainstreamnm.org as well for people who can't make it to one of our in-person open house events.
So I would think, just off the top of my head, that, like I said, farmers and people that really depend on water as part of their livelihood probably participate more, but do you just want to hear from average citizens, and what kind of input would they offer?
Yeah, I think this is the perfect opportunity, if you don't do water as your livelihood, to get involved, because we really want to hear from, anyone who drinks water in New Mexico, because if you drink water, you probably value it in, either having clean drinking water or having it in the environment that you live in. So I think that we're both taking this kind of roadshow that we've been doing with Mainstream New Mexico and trying to both get a lot of input for our new regional water planning process and educate a lot of people about water in New Mexico and why it's important to be involved. But I think it's really important for, normal people who don't do water all day for their job like me to engage, because we all have different preferences and values about what do we value about water, even if we maybe don't think about that on a daily basis.
Right. So tap water. George Carlin did a thing on stage where he would ask the audience, how's your water here in this city? And they'd all go, oh, terrible. And he'd say, it's the worst in the country, right? They'd go, oh, it's awful, terrible. And he'd say, yeah, every city I go to says the exact same thing. What's the true story on tap water in New Mexico?
So it varies depending on where you are in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. A lot here in Albuquerque, we have both surface water that we actually divert from the Colorado River system up in kind of southern Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And we use groundwater that is pumped out of the aquifer below Albuquerque. A lot of places in the state are on groundwater only. And then there's some places in the state, like up in the Farmington region, where they're on surface water only. Generally speaking, we have great water here. I love the tap water.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my water bottle here right now.
All right.
So I think we have... The Water Authority does a really good job in Albuquerque, complying with all, federal regulations when it comes to water. And I think it tastes really good.
Yeah.
But it's going to be different, depending on where you are in the state, where your water comes from.
Right. I know when I'm trying to make a good cup of coffee, some say use the tap water because the filtered water doesn't have all the good minerals in it that will actually make better coffee or tea.
Yeah, I agree. I think I use the tap water straight out for my coffee in the morning, too.
There you go. Now, what is the Water Security Planning Act of 2023?
So the Water Security Planning Act of 2023 is the kind of the reason that we're doing Mainstream in this whole roadshow. So back in 2022, retired state engineer Mike Hammond set up the Water and Infrastructure Task Force, and with a group of, leaders across the state in water. And one of the recommendations out of that task force was to replace the regional water planning statute, which was first passed was passed in the 1980s and has been in place since then. So one of their suggestions was to replace this water regional water planning statute so that we could, you know, have a statute that was more forward looking rather than really kind of already, you know, had its purpose and everything. Mm-hmm. So out of that task force and with the coalition of, you know, stakeholders, the Interstate Stream Commission put forward the Water Security Planning Act as an agency bill in the 2023 legislative session. And that passed unanimously, which was awesome and a very big accomplishment for our group. And so since then, we kind of took the rest of 2023 to kind of get all our ducks in a row and how we were going to implement the statute. And now we are here kind of nearing the end of the summer here in 2024. And we're all the input that is at Mainstream New Mexico, either in the online survey or at the in-person event, is going to be considered when we develop rules and guidelines. And those two things together will be the roadmap of how we do regional water planning going forward.
So it's a way to adapt to current and future conditions.
Exactly.
And get input. And it's always sort of evolving, I would imagine.
It's evolving, yeah. So it's setting out a process that we can have planning as more kind of the forefront of what we want to do. Historically, we've done regional water planning in the past as a state, but they've been kind of these, you know, they come up once and they come down once, and the plans haven't really been as implementable as we're hoping to make the plans coming out of this process be.
Okay. So as part of the Water Security Planning Act, what sort of changed? What updates came out of that?
So I think the biggest update is that we're really thinking about the water future rather than kind of retroactively thinking about the past. The previous water planning statute was a really a defensive statute against Texas because Texas was like, oh, New Mexico, you don't need that water, right? And we were like, we need that water. Sure. See, we have a plan for it. And that it was a pretty small statute. And so the Water Security Planning Act really fully, you know, it's throughout that statute and really has re-envisioned how we want to move forward, really focusing on having implementation and public input at every single process. And, you know, having some really good sections of the statute that call out, you know, engagement with our tribes, pueblos, and nations, and calling for a water security council that that my other colleague at our group is heading up that part of the project.
Okay.
So it both really kind of looks forward and then also continues to couch us in not breaking water law, making sure that we're complying with our interstate compacts, our endangered species acts. But it's really much more forward-looking, focusing on implementation and broad public outreach.
And I would imagine just top of mind, just to make people aware who don't deal with water every day, like water nerds like you, that they have input and they can impact the entire state's water situation. How do people get involved and give you the feedback that you're looking for?
So the best way to get involved is to either come to an in-person open house event. We have three more. On August 5th, we will be out in Gallup, New Mexico. On August 6th, we will be up in Farmington. And then our final in-person open house event will be here in Albuquerque on August 7th. Each of the meetings has the same input opportunities. It's the same meeting anytime. And if you're hearing about this for the first time and you're like, dang it, I missed the one that was closest to me, no worries. You can either show up to the one in Albuquerque or go online to mainstreamnm.org, navigate on the menu to the online open house, and you'll have all the same input opportunities that you have in person, plus a couple extra that are a little bit online only, the more wonky questions, as we call them.
What's that website again? Let's repeat that website a few more times throughout the show so people really get it.
Yeah, so the website is mainstreamnm.org.
Okay, and so, if someone, when people go to these meetings, what should they expect?
So it's an open house event. So this is not a four-hour PowerPoint. Some people show up and that's amazing. You show up for a four-hour PowerPoint. This is not that. This is supposed to be, you know, very conversation forward. We've set it up with stations. I believe we have a why, what, who, and where section in the open house event. And it's a series of posters with some background information for people to read through, and then a series of either dots or answered questions if they would like. The whole process is supposed to be easy to engage with, so you can come in and just, you know, beeline for the who section and just answer those questions and leave. We won't bug you about doing the rest of them. But at each of these events, the entire New Mexico Interstate Stream Commission's planning staff is available along with our contractors. So if you are, you know, confused about why we're asking this question or like, what is this process? We're available at all of these to have really great conversations and engage with New Mexicans about, you know, water issues that they care about and want to be represented in this new regional water planning process.
Is it sort of a survey situation where they're asked questions and they respond?
Yeah, so a survey, and we've really tried to make it easy. So we'll have like a list of like maybe like 9 really important things, and we say choose your top 3. You get 3 dots. Put them down wherever you want.
Yeah, give me a few examples.
So I think one of the first questions is with New Mexico's with 25% less water going forward, what would be, you know, your top priorities going forward? And one of the ones that has come out as being one of the top contenders is water for future generations of New Mexico. So that's really heartwarming to see coming out in the data. But there's a laundry list of, you know, making sure we have water for our environment, or making sure we have water that's available in our kind of aquifers, or making sure that we have really healthy watersheds so that our water that comes in those is clean already.
How about combating wildfires? I imagine that's a pretty big priority. We need a lot of water.
Combating wildfires. So our kind of planning kind of horizon, we try to think about what happens before a wildfire happens, and making sure that we are prioritizing, managing our forests kind of actively. So in the West, we have forests all over the place. And
yeah.
They've been managed, you know, differently throughout the past, and kind of the new regime of how we want to manage forests is thinking about making forests that are spatially and temporally different. So essentially having a variety of ages of trees and different species of trees across our forests. And since they were really heavily logged kind of at the early part of the 19th century, a lot of our forests, all the trees are kind of the same age. So there's a lot of kind of selective, you know, cutting of trees and making meadows and stuff like that to do forest management. It's really, a lot of this is all really well spelled out in actually the state's forestry plan. I believe that came out in 2020. They have a really great plan that goes through, you know, priority landscapes that they want to target, you know, how much it would cost to really get that fully done. So forests and watersheds are a very important part because that's where our water comes from. Keeping our forests from not burning is really important when we think about both, like, you know, the health of forests for, you know, us, the environment, everyone else, but also when we think about how that translates to water downstream for users.
I would imagine like any ecosystem, one slight change that might not seem like a big deal can really have kind of a domino effect and for years to come make a big impact.
Yeah. And so I think managing our forests really actively can help us, you know, maybe blunt the impacts of a forest fire long term. Because if forests are getting regularly, you know, managed and prescribed fire is part of that process, they can, you know, better withstand maybe a bigger fire that comes through. So,
and that's also unpredictable. You can I guess look at the past and on average see what kind of you know, fire seasons we have, but you can't really pinpoint any exact, you know, information. You just kind of have be prepared for anything, right? What kind of people do you see coming to the meeting so far?
So we've seen a lot of the soil and water conservation districts, which is a super, I'm really excited to see them there. They are, every part of the state belongs to a soil and water conservation district. They have a really, they're like really boots on the ground people who are dealing with water and soil and kind of landscapes across our state. So I'm really happy. I think I run into some people from soil and water conservation districts every time. Additionally, we've seen a lot of, you know, municipal staff from different municipalities across New Mexico. And then I think we just recently in this last kind of round, we've been seeing a lot of students. We had a lot of students at our event in Socorro.
You must love that.
It's so great. There's like, they're both like ask the most insightful questions and they're just really enthusiastic, which is really great to see.
Yeah. And dedicated to their future and this, the state's future. That's great.
Yeah. So we're hoping that we can bring out a lot of students at our kind of last round of in-person events, but we're really trying to encourage anyone who drinks water in New Mexico to show up.
Is there anyone who does not drink water in New Mexico?
Some lady told me she only drinks Diet Coke. And I
that's not good.
I was like, I guess you shouldn't fill out the survey then. It kind of caught me a little off guard with that comment. But generally speaking, I think I don't want to say that it's simple because it is a complicated subject, but we're really trying to make it as accessible for people and provide resources and opportunities to talk to our staff to really walk people through this process so that people can feel that they have, you know, enough background to make informed decisions on the questions that we are asking. Right.
I would think complicated, yes, but more people just don't really think about it. You know what I mean? You just go through your daily life and you turn on, like you said, the faucet and there's the water and you don't really think about it. But there's obviously smart people like you, thank God, are looking at all this and trying to plan our future. Where are the meetings? When are they? And more importantly, because people won't remember no matter how many times we say it, what's that website again where they can get all the information?
For sure. So the website, once again, is mainstreamnm.org. And then on the Get Involved page, we'll have all the specific information about each upcoming in-person event.
So we have at least, what, three more you said coming up?
We have three more coming up. So okay. We're going to be out in Gallup at the Veterans Helping Veterans Center out in Gallup, New Mexico. Each of the meetings runs from 3 to 7 p.m. They are open house meetings, though. Please show up when you're available. Stay as long as you want. We've had people who stayed the whole 4 hours with us and talk to every single person and then do their dots. And we've had people who've, you know, been on a little bit of a tighter schedule and show up for maybe 30 minutes or so. So we'll be out in Gallup on Monday, August 5th at the Veterans Helping Veterans Center. We'll be in Farmington on August 6th at the Farmington Civic Center from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. again. And then our final in-person event will be in Albuquerque at the UNM Division of Continuing Education, right on, I think it's University and Indian School, right up there.
Okay.
From 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. as well.
Okay. Now, what if you can't make any of those? Is there a way to do it virtually?
Yes, there is. So we have heard from people that they want more opportunities to engage with us. So in response to that, we are hosting these online community conversations. Our next one is coming up on July 31st. This is kind of where the planning staff gets on an online, I think is a Teams call, and we give kind of a 30-minute intro of like background and information that you need. And then we're really there to have discussions about what we're doing in this process. So that is on July 31st. We have a luncheon, like a lunch and learn time frame, so like 12 to 1:30, and then an after hours community conversations. That's going to be this upcoming Wednesday, July 31st. And then we additionally have all these same input opportunities as the online or as the in-person event online at mainstreamnm.org as well. I think you navigate to the online open house. And then the website's set up as kind of a series of embedded surveys. So kind of keep scrolling and then make sure to click submit so that we can get those responses recorded.
Okay, so hopefully people are hearing this and you get a great turnout. More than you expected, you couldn't be happier. That would mean you have a lot of information to sift through and organize and figure out what's our plan. How does that process happen?
So we're working with some really great contractors, the Brundle Group out of Colorado, who one of their specialties is planning. So we've been working with them both to design the questions and the input opportunities, and we're really working with them to figure out ways that we can be really transparent with the data that we're hearing. So right now, as we're kind of wrapping up this input process timeline, we're brainstorming with them different kind of dashboards that we can have available online so that we can show people, you know, how their region, you know, compares to other regions based off of kind of the dot questions, which can be really summarized in bar charts across the state. We're still brainstorming ways that we can be as transparent with the written comments as well. But out of this whole process, the Brundle Group will be developing two reports. One is a really just the what we did and what we heard report. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is going to be a recommendations for what we should consider when we go to develop rules and guidelines later this fall.
Okay, and at these meetings, you have people, I mean, you must have people have their concern is at odds with someone else's concern, or what they need will maybe in someone else's mind take away from what they need.
Yes.
You know, so how do you deal with that?
So I think that we're really trying to move towards a kind of water balance like mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So matching our need with our availability. And so I think that it's all the water in New Mexico is appropriated to people across the state. You know, tribes, peoples, and nations, different people. So any new use of water has to come at the expense of an existing use.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we don't really have a plan for how we're kind of dealing with these trade-offs. And that's a lot of what this process is, you know, developing a process by which people can come together to work out these differences. Because there is going to be, I mean, it is a little bit complicated, and there is, you know, conflicts that arise.
Sure. But we have to be good neighbors and take care of each other. And that's the goal for everybody in the long run.
Yeah, get back into kind of that balance that we want to be in. It's not like something we're going to achieve once and be done with. This is like an ongoing process of balancing our water need with our water availability.
Okay. What can people do on their daily, you know, schedule to help? How do you, conservation, and what are some things people can do to help the future of water?
So conservation is key. I think also just being aware of when you are, you know, enjoying water out and about in New Mexico. We have great natural resources around our state, and a lot of those resources are made, you know, better and aren't there without the water that we have in our environment. So both kind of be aware when you're out and about in New Mexico about where water is, and then in your daily life kind of think about different ways we can conserve water. A lot of people who live in municipalities have really good rebates for kind of switching out appliances. Mm-hmm. To be more water efficient. The one that is, you know, the one that's not really cool to talk about, but is like the most bang for your buck essentially in conservation, is actually switching out your toilets.
Yeah.
Moving from one of those kind of old toilets that takes 4 gallons to flush down to something that takes about a third of a gallon to flush.
Right. In the old days, we put a brick in the tank, wouldn't you? Wasn't that the deal?
I guess so. That might be before my
time. Is that before your time? Well, I'm an old guy, so I remember the old brick in the tank. But you had the simple little things, right? Like if you're brushing your teeth,
shut
you don't keep
water.
It running while you're brushing. If you're showering, you don't turn it on and then do everything else and then get in the shower. Just simple little things. Or
simple
washing your car.
Things.
There's sprinklers, obviously.
Sprinklers, obviously. So a lot of places in New Mexico will have fairly strict kind of watering schedules. So adhering to, you know, not watering in the middle of the day, watering, you know, at, you know, kind of after dusk or like before in the morning can really make a difference. And making sure that the plants that we have in our, you know, environments are successful. Because we don't want to just like be like, tear out all the plants. That's a bad idea.
Right.
We do want the plants. So
choosing the right plants, right?
Choosing
native
the right
plants is probably a good idea.
Native plants. We planted a desert willow at my house here in Albuquerque, and it's gotten great. And we've stopped watering it, and now it just gets rain from the sky, and it's doing fabulous.
As it should be.
As it should.
All right. We only have about 2 minutes left. So let's go again with the website.
Yes. So all the information about our upcoming in-person events, our online input survey, a lot of really great background can be found at mainstreamnm.org.
Okay. And people can get a lot of information on there. I got to be honest with you. It's one of those subjects that you don't really think about. And like I said, and I mean it in the nicest possible way, what smart water nerds like you that will help our future. But for the average person, it doesn't really compute until you kind of talk to someone like you or probably get information from the website.
Yeah, part of with the campaign, the naming of the campaign was we're trying to make water, you know, a little bit more mainstream in addition to adding this whole input opportunities for
right.
Mexicans.
Right. So everyone should participate. We have like a minute and a half, but how did you get into this? What's your deal?
So I'm originally from Colorado.
Okay.
And so when I was young, there was a really bad drought that hit New Mexico as well in 2002. And that was accompanied by really big wildfires and all this other stuff. And it just became really interesting to me at a young age about like, where does water go in the environment? I'm a swimmer. So that's like something that was always really like front of mind for my
right.
entire kind of growing up. And then I have engineering degrees from CU Boulder in both my master's and I have engineering degrees from Boulder, and I focused water for both of my engineering degrees, both bachelor's and master's.
Well, thank you for doing what you're doing, and the commission and everyone involved. And people should participate. And if you feel like, I don't know about all that, go to the website and check it out, and it may impact you more than you think. And certainly if we all get together and put our pointed heads together, we can figure it out and have a long future in New Mexico with enough water for everybody. And thank you, Sarah Fox.
Thank you so much for having us.